Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Flyover Ministry. And maybe you're still in bed at 10 and your work began at 8 and you bring your breakfast and so far things are going great. But we are going to continue on here. Jordan's scratching his head, not entirely sure. I will say that if you know that reference without even Googling it, I will send you the rest of the Flyover Ministry stickers.
I feel like I need to combat your references with obscure references of my own.
No, you have you just park it there with your dad jokes, and I'll do obscure references.
Just got back to from Disneyland, driving a new 4x4. Ed McMahon is at my door.
All right, yeah.
The next one, the Stanley Cup. Bill Gates puts me in his will. Someone paid my Visa bill.
I don't know.
Okay, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Okay. Fine. Should I stop doing it?
No, but the listener should write in and tell me if they can understand my references too.
Alrighty.
That's a challenge.
There's the challenge. We're throwing in references. At this point we're just stalling.
But top 90s Christian music culture.
Oh,
maybe turn of the millennium. Canadian. I can't give any more else that would give it away, but I have.
Well, you lost most relevant. Of us with the Canadian description hint.
No, this is relevant because I remember within the last 2 years, we were at the Arc for, I think it might have been Fly Beyond even. I'm not sure, but somebody, like, I hear this song being sung across the cafeteria in Mana Inn, and it was from this band, and I was like, what? No way. And so across the room, kindred spirits united, and it was a beautiful thing of fellowship.
I just want to appreciate the fact that you said some kind of Canadian reference and relevant in the same general description
here. Trudeau.
What's that?
Trudeau.
True, yeah. We are going to be moving ahead on defining success in ministry and specifically pointing to our volunteers. I know. How about that for a blunt? That's about as blunt as a brick wall for transitions.
I'm thinking that you missed that dad joke that was tucked in there too, but
I might have. I might catch it on the edit.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. I'm not even going to go back and ask. So.
Okay. Just going back to my strong place. So last week we were all talking about just personal success, how you define and evaluate success. And then this week we're carrying that ball forward with being intentional of passing on this to your volunteers too, and kind of a story to get you primed for kind of what we're talking about here. A congregation that I was at, there was this elderly lady, and she was just... She came in one day and started making cookies, and some kids started joining with her, and they were just having a conversation, making cookies. And I think it might have even been like a special occasion where they had lined this up to have her show her how she does her thing or whatever. And afterwards, I went up to her. I was like, you know what? I just want to let you know that, first of all, thank you for investing in a student like that, but also to know that this is something that I want to celebrate and I want to say is what I consider success. Members of the congregation personally investing in the lives of our students, not necessarily only in a Bible study, although that's great if that's one of the things that's happening, but just doing life together and seeing like what a faithful follower of Christ lives like in their 70s or 80s. You know, that's a healthy image to pass on to students. And I think that this person was really caught off guard. Just like, wait, this is like successful youth ministry? I don't know if she ever thought herself like as a youth minister or, you know, doing that. But I think sometimes for volunteers or for parents or whatever the case may be, is like that self-expectation of what we're looking for can be so off the mark from what we actually are looking for.
That's huge. I think, yeah, as far as the goals, I think people overcomplicate involvement with student ministry. They think it's talking in front of a group of students that are probably browsing their phone and just disconnected and disinterested. And, you know, for some, I won't say that that's not the attitude that is presented to students. But I think when you're talking, especially small town ministry, or small church ministry, you're looking at people who are genuinely trying to build a community, something that is significant, something that is impactful, something that is bigger than themselves, and to show people that, yes, it is as simple as talking to students while you wait for delicious cookies to bake in the oven. I think that's, man, that's just good ministry. Plus, you get cookies out of it. So, I mean,
there's perks.
There's perks to discipleship. I think
that's
when
where the youth pastor punch comes from.
Discipleship cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been in ministry? Well, about
3 belt holes worth.
3 belt. I was going to say, my jeans are, I'm wearing nothing but gym shorts and sweatpants. Yeah, usually this winter has been hard, is translated into the I have done too much visitation. And it's oh man.
Yeah, so dealing with volunteers then, you know, there's as leaders, one of the things that we want to do is to clarify expectations right out of the gate, right? So as we're talking with people that we want to see involved with ministry or have been participating in some things, we just want to say, hey, you know what, right up front, I want you to know what I'm expecting. And, you know, we've talked about this before too, just, and I think even in the fly interviews that came out from the students, what made them feel special was people knowing their name, right? And mm-hmm. talking with them. So with a volunteer, it's say like your first task really is to know their names. And that might seem very rudimentary, but at the same time, there's people in our congregation that don't know the name of all of our students. So it's a, yeah. it's a good step and say, this is an expectation. And then, you know, you can see them working on it. And some people are going to be good with names. Some people are going to really struggle. And so someone who's struggling, say, you know what? I see you paying attention and I see you trying. And I just want to say, I appreciate that so much. Mm-hmm. So that's really big. And then, and two, also just not just your expectations, but what is the ministry all about? So that they know, like, this is what the central point of this group is. So people coming to help out with our group, they know that what we're really pushing for is the know and go. So it's to grow and go, to grow in knowledge. So we have this intellectual component. So we have people who are able to do Bible studies, people able to pass on their skills. Even before growing knowledge is grow in Christ, we want that personal relationship to be foundational, right? So there's this gospel component, and they're aware then that this is intentional, that this is a huge part of what we do. Growing together, we want to show the reality of the body of Christ, and they're a part of that body. And so what does the body look like in intergenerational connections? A student with a grandfather, a grandmotherly figure, and just that unique relationship that can happen. So, and then there's also the going part. And so maybe you've got an opportunity for an older person who just is like great at having random conversations with waiters or something, taking a student along and saying, hey, this is how I witness, you know, at Perkins or whatever the case is. And so those can be really huge things to be upfront to say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. And this is what I hope that your piece in this puzzle is. And that gives them a placement and it gives them opportunity to say, like, am I cut out for this? How is this meeting my strengths and using my strengths and abilities and different things like that?
Yeah. I think the invitation from us to you, listener, is to remind yourself that you are inviting as you recruit volunteers. And we've talked about recruiting volunteers in the past. But as you do that, to remind yourself that you are inviting people into a greater mission of Kingdom Ministry. You're not just inviting people into another event for them to fill their calendar with. You're not just providing them with something else to be busy with. And even as you recruit, to remind yourself that you're not just looking for, hey, just some volunteers on the announcement slides going through, not just a line in the bulletin saying, hey, we're looking for small group leaders or Sunday school teachers or, you know, whatever kind of volunteer you're considering at that point. But to show people that, you know what, this is something that is missional, and it is incredibly exciting to be a part of that. And if you can say, hey, here's what we're shooting for. Here's the goals that we've been talking about as a church, as a ministry, especially focusing on our students. We see that reaching out to the students in our church is important for the following reasons. And we know that from past conversations, you've talked about that as well. This is something that you're passionate about, and we'd love to have your passion more formally on board with us, helping us try to figure out what this looks like specifically. And we'd actually like you to do more than just talk about it. Like, we want you to do it. Like, we want you to be a part of this and help us with this. And we want to help you help us with this kind of thing. So to invite people on a mission, you're going to, I think, wind up with a lot more people that are at least willing to talk with you in a more significant capacity than you would be if you're just looking for a volunteer. To be able to say, I see this in you. I want to help develop this and help us grow as a ministry. I think when you're really clear with your expectations, with your goals, having that sussed out as you talk with them, that's big. That is a big step in your favor for recruiting.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is even kind of broader when we get into this habit of, and one of the things that I think that I would like to encourage too is just, we can be always growing in calling out good stuff that we see when we see it. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we can wait, and there's like not necessarily in the middle of a service, you want to be like, great point, pastor, you study. Although some pastors might really enjoy it, but
you could do that.
You could. And then we'd call you Baptist or Pentecostal. I don't know.
You're charismatic.
Anyhow, yeah. So if you are of the Baptist or charismatic persuasion and have somehow found our podcast, we still love you.
Welcome.
Yeah.
We make fun of everyone here.
Last month, you've got mail. But I think this is really important too, because when you affirm somebody in something that they're doing as they do it, it makes that connection so much more strong. So, mm-hmm. and to do it in front of others too, so that others can see like what you are excited about. So we had another instance was we had a couple students later in our congregation. She always asks if we could have like her leaves raked for her in the fall, and totally fine. She's a widow, elderly. She's fairly mobile, but you know, some limitations. And so we had a couple students that came over and we started raking, and then she came out and starts talking about her childhood out in like, down kind of in the south, a little bit on the farm, and you know, witnessing all these changes of stuff happening in her lifetime. That's just, life was totally different there, and it was great to have that conversation. She just loved talking with the kids, and the kids were having such a good time talking with her. And as we're kind of cleaning up, I just went over, I was like, you know, thank you so much for coming out and joining and conversing with us, you know. And she's like, oh, I had a great time. I was like, well, that's great, but I mean, that's really important for the students too, you know, and to not just have someone be sitting, like she could have just sat and watched out the window. That's fine. But instead she chose to engage with the students, and I wanted to celebrate that. And so yeah, in that moment, just say, you know, this is important and I just want to recognize this. Thank you for doing that. And you can find different things throughout it. It's kind of fun even to like look for those opportunities in the congregation and just to see like what's already happening. And then some people might be kind of weirded out, like why are you watching me kind of thing. But, you know, it is our job in a sense to be aware of what's happening and to be able to like show people that just because we're in the position that we're in as a leader doesn't mean that we don't need the whole congregation involved in the discipleship of these students.
Yeah. I think spreading out that affirmation as well. Instead of, I mean, there's definitely leaders that you will see that get it. They understand it. They're right in step with kind of the goals of what you're heading on. And to be able to spread that out so your recognition of what's going on, all of the good work that's taking place, that's not just focused on a couple of people, that you're celebrating everybody that's involved. You know, because there's people that might be involved as you recruit that are, we're really trying to remember people's names. And I've got the small group that I'm in, and that's about it. And to be able to celebrate that, to recognize that, you know what, I see you. You know, I guess in my own practice, I do celebrate occasionally in public, but I'm more of like the quiet affirming word, to be able to not make a big deal of it, because you know we do want to celebrate together and we take the opportunities to do that. But even celebrating is not the reason we're doing this. Like, we're doing this to further God's kingdom, and we want to receive the praise from God and not just from man. So not to throw a wet blanket over what we're saying here either, but being able to celebrate though is a part of being a church. You know, we grieve together and we celebrate together. But I think to be able to discern when a good time is for that, and to be able to say that you're spreading the praise around when you are affirming people, I think that would be important for you as a leader to use some discernment on that. But I don't know, Jordan, not to sign you up on this. Do you agree? Do you have pushback?
Well, I think that there's wisdom in spreading it around. And I think when I'm thinking about celebrating publicly or celebrating together, maybe the context of like an appreciation lunch or something like that, where you've gotten a chance to gather together and it is your volunteers and kind of what you did personally, looking back at the year and saying, hey, this is where God worked. It's kind of doing that together and saying, this is how I saw God work through you. And I remember pretty clearly when I was a student, one time an adult just kind of casually said, hey, thank you, Jordan. The Lord used you to be a blessing. And I didn't know what was going on. And I don't think I can remember really what happened. But I remember that feeling of, wow, like, A, I was a blessing. God used me in somebody else's life. That's pretty significant. And I think that was just really cool. And I think I'll just leave it at point A there. So, but... we get to, in a sense, do that with the volunteers as well. Like, say, hey, you know what? I know we talked like earlier, but I just want to say, everybody, like, I saw this person do this. God did something, and that's awesome. Like, we just want to, not making someone really uncomfortable. You don't want to do that where it's no longer a blessing, but you can just like, in this gathering together, celebrating what God has done in the group, through the group too, and just that. That affirmation of like, you know what, each of you have done something valuable. And it could even be something like, so I'll put on my Sunday school superintendent hat here for a minute and say, at the end of the year or midway through the year, it could simply be something as simple as saying, like, you know what, guys, you have been faithful in coming and preparing a lesson and have talked about the scripture and the gospel to the students. And to my knowledge, none of you have had a student pray to receive Christ. To my knowledge, none of you have had like a student have this like epiphany and just like suddenly recommitting their life to Christ, whatever the case is. But you know what? Simply sowing that seed in that heart is success. So thank you for your faithfulness. Like, that's what it's all about. We're not the ones that controls what happens. We're called to be sowers of the seed, and you guys have sown well. So thank you for that. And something as simple as that can be important to remember. For our volunteers and for those who are investing in students in various capacities.
Yeah. So what other targets do you have for your volunteers? Personal targets for them, ministry targets for them? Like, what do you as a leader have set up for your volunteers this year?
Yeah, so this is going to be definitely like a place for you to invest in leaders in a unique way. So recognizing, look, the people who are volunteers, they're on their own spiritual journey following Jesus as themselves, right? Just like we are. And even though we might be leading a ministry, we get a lot of benefit from people who invest in our lives, right? And who like challenge us and say, hey, here's an area that you can get better in. Let's grow in this area together. So this is more kind of just like offering that to our volunteers as well, saying like, hey, you know, how can I, as you're investing in our students, how can I come alongside you this year? What's something that you want to grow in? And maybe someone's going to say like, I just really want to grow in prayer this year. And so maybe it's just like, all right, hey, let's gather once a month and pray and just like, tell me how things are going. And treating our volunteers as people too, and investing in them as well. Sometimes we can get our blinders on and think it's just about the students, and that's where most of my time goes. But to remember those who are serving in ministry too. And so the goals that you come up with and targets are going to be unique to each different person because they're on their own different place. But I think that's an interesting opportunity that we have as leaders to pass on to those involved with their ministry as well.
Yeah, I like that. Like talking with your leaders and volunteers to say, what are you hoping to do? Because you, like we talked about last week, you have your goals. They also are their own individuals, not just a part of your larger group, but they are also individual entities. So to be the kind of leader trying to invest in your other volunteers and leaders, I think that's, there's a very strong discipleship flavor to that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's recognizing that it's a holistic picture here. We're not just seeking to get people to help to suck the value out of them, but we want to also be something that's investing and pouring into them. And I think that can be just a good way of mixing that too. So,
right. And even the strength of that is enough to have them return.
Yeah.
To be able to say that this was important because I was being poured into as well as having the chance to pour into others.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be really strong. So I hope that you found something that was helpful and encouraging to you to consider this next year working with volunteers. Maybe even something that would inspire you to take that involvement with an investment in volunteers to the next level, to remember to call out and celebrate what you see happening. And let them know what a win is. Define the win for them so that they can see that they're not just doing it for nothing, but that they are succeeding in what God has called them to. Show them what faithfulness looks like and what faithfulness means. And remind them that you're there for them as well. And walk with them through this time together. And I hope that that will really strengthen your programs and strengthen your witness for Christ and effectiveness in your local congregation. So be encouraged and go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.